Before we start, I'd just like to say a big thank you to the flower arrangers who have presented us with such a marvellous display. Perhaps you could just spare a few minutes at the end of the service to have a closer look at them, but perhaps we could give them a round of applause.
Thank you, David. That's properly embarrassed them, isn't it? Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion on this very special of days. We will start our service shortly, but it being Easter, we have a new Paschal candle, which we will light this morning. It defines for us the light of Christ, and it specifies that when that is lit, it helps us to understand that Christ is with us throughout this time. He is, of course, with us all the time, but we need a candle to help us remember. So we'll do that now. From now on, every candle that is lit in church will be lit from that candle which will be lit first. So may the light of Christ, rising in glory, banish all darkness from our hearts and our minds. This is the day when Jesus vanquished hell, broke the chains of death, and rose triumphant from the grave. This is the day when all believe in him are freed from sin, restored to grace and holiness, and share in the victory of Christ. This is the day that gave us back what we had lost. Beyond our deepest dreams, you made even our sin a happy thought. Crowning glory of all feasts, evil and hatred are put to flight and sin is washed away. Lost innocence regained, and mourning turned to joy. Feast truly blessed, when hatred is cast out, peace and justice find a home, and heaven is joined to earth, and all creation reconciled to you. Therefore, Heavenly Father, in this our Easter joy, accept our sacrifice of praise, your church's solemn offering. Grant that this Easter candle may make our darkness light. For Christ, the morning star, has risen in glory. Christ is risen from the dead, and his flame of love still burns within us. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Let's start our service by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 285, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Thank you.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together: Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,
we ask you against
you,
and
against
our
name,
in thoughts and words, and
deeds, through the nations, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, our true sorrow, and repent of all our sins. Son Christ, died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for Easter Day. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. Faithful God, let your word be the treasure of our hearts, so that we may delight in your truth and have open ears to hear the music of your voice above the chaos of this world. We ask this so that we might truly see the vision of your glory. As we sit and hear our scripture reading.
The reading today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 24. The following day, Peter arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
In a moment, Mary will read our gospel and then be preaching for us. But before that, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 1199, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. We stand to sing.
Thank you. according to John. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Christ had been, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please sit down. Now, I don't think I can actually start my talk this morning without referencing the fact that Easter this year comes together for both the Eastern and Western churches. And it doesn't actually happen very often. This year also happens to be the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea that took place in 325. And although it's mostly known for defending the divinity of Christ against the heresy of Arianism, and I'm definitely not going down that rabbit hole this morning, the council also established a universal formula for calculating the date of Easter. Now, at the time, everyone was using the Julian calendar, which had a fixed date for the spring equinox. But over the centuries and recognition about how the sun and the moon and all the rest of it worked, the Western churches adopted the Gregorian calendar, whilst the Eastern church continued to use the Julian calendar for church festivals. And so that's why we then end up with this frequency. You'll find that the Eastern church will celebrate Easter or Christmas sort of 2 or 3 weeks later. Now, here's the trick question. Can anyone actually tell me what the formula is for calculating when Easter will fall? Any brave souls out there?
First Sunday after the first full moon
Thank you. That's actually, well done. Yes. That definitely needs a round of applause. So just in case you didn't hear this, and so you can fix it. So as you say, it's on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox. So as you can tell, that's why it fluctuates quite wildly. So last year, yeah, I think it was the 31st of March, this year, 20th of April, and I think next year it goes back into March. So that's why you get this floating around. And to actually mark this convergence, though, between East and West, church leaders around the world have written that we pray that this happy confluence of events may inspire our churches to increasingly strive for greater unity in Christ. And in a world where there seems to be little unity and great suffering for many, it does seem apt that Christians at least should be working together and fostering unity and harmony rather than division and rift. Now, on the subject of Lent, I hope that you have actually found it a positive season, that you found something to engage with, whether it be a Lent course, Lent readings, a book, or whatever, reflections, or whatever it might be. And at 40 days long, it can seem quite a long period of time in which to do the reflection and pondering. And then by the time you get to Holy Week, you can feel weighed down by the horrors that come at the end of it. And yet, throughout, there is this power of its stubborn hope that should help us through to proclaim today, hallelujah, Christ is risen. And if we can feel confused by both the events of Holy Week and the resurrection then itself, then I think we are actually in very good company with those first witnesses. As John's Gospel tells us, Jesus' resurrection was met first with darkness and weeping. In times of uncertainty and upheaval, in noting this detail, it does actually free us to see that lament and hope are not mutually exclusive. So when Easter arrives in John's Gospel, it arrives amid darkness. Now, each of the Gospels deals with the life and ministry of Jesus in different ways and different styles. But once we reach Holy Week, they seem to come together in a common pattern of events that unfold with intensity and a sense of fateful inevitability. And John's presentation of the Passion has this repeated refrain, which was, this is to fulfill the scriptures. And he's alluding to all those prophecies that come through from the Old Testament that are fulfilled through Jesus. And then the final 3 days of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday and Holy Saturday are the most intense days in the liturgical calendar with their moving liturgy. I'm just going to pause because I've got a tickly throat suddenly. The symbolism of light and darkness in our Maundy Thursday service illustrates this. As the words of the Passion are read, the lights of the church are gradually dimmed and extinguished, representing the growing darkness and despair at the suffering of Christ. We're physically plunged into darkness, experiencing the gradual withdrawal of light at first hand in order to reflect on Christ's death. And the darkness is full of scriptural resonances. The Gospels report that darkness came over the whole land when Jesus was on the cross. Also, the earth shook and the rocks were split and the tombs were opened. Stamping feet to represent these sounds would not go amiss and would be symbolic of the earthquake at the death of Christ, both symbolic and real. For me, the events of Holy Week culminating in the crucifixion need more than words to explain them. I like movement, images, candles, lights, darkness, sacred art. It all assists in getting something into my head that I struggle to comprehend by simply reading words or listening to the scriptures. The prevailing image taken from the drama of Maundy Thursday is that single burning candle at the end. This single light represents the return of hope as Christ rises from the tomb. A small flickering light remains to symbolize that darkness has not conquered. But now, moving to our scriptural accounts for this service, we read and heard. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone, which had been solidly put in place on the Friday, had been removed from the tomb. So two points jump out here. Firstly, it was still dark. And that darkness we've been talking about quite a bit and has been permeating everything that we associate with the events leading up to the death of Christ. And it's still there. But, everything is about to change, to be transformed with the discovery that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So let's just pause there for a moment, shall we? Think for a moment what that means. Now, we all have a massive advantage over Mary Magdalene because we know this account. We've probably heard it many times before, and we know what it signifies and where it's going to. But just place yourself in Mary's shoes. Everything is dark to her. Her Lord has been violently taken from her. She's in total shock, disbelief even. Whatever teachings, words, actions she encountered in being with Jesus are far from her at this moment. You know that feeling. An accident happens in front of you. Someone maybe collapses. There's that momentary panic when everything you may have learnt on how to put someone in a recovery position, do CPR or whatever it is, leaves you and you're standing there, immobile, frozen, for what can seem like an eternity. But then from that momentary immobility comes action. Suddenly we read about lots of running, and that's not something that adults tend to do generally. And certainly for the observant Jews, this would have been quite unseemly. But Mary ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple. And then Peter and the other disciples set out towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So what's all this running about? Why are they suddenly in such a hurry? It's because Mary has told them that the tomb is now empty. The body has now been removed and they don't know where it is. When they arrive, the other disciple, on reaching the tomb first, bends down to look in but does not go in. He notices, though, what's left there, the linen wrappings lying there. Now, if it was the case that the body had been removed to another place, then those linen wrappings would surely still be on the body. So what was going through his head? It's Simon Peter who enters the tomb itself and also notes that the linen wrappings and the separately rolled up cloth that had been on Jesus' head by itself. We're not told what Simon Peter thought on entering the tomb and seeing these things, but we are told that the other disciple, now entering the tomb, saw and believed. But we're also told, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Their comprehension is still partial. Then the disciples return to their homes. They don't engage with Mary at all at the tomb. And while they return home, Mary remains standing and weeping outside the tomb. And by doing so, she stubbornly is hanging on there. Any hope she may have continued to hang on to its finally and wonderfully fulfilled moment that's beyond her imagination. John's account emphasizes that the risen Christ does not reveal himself to people of power. He doesn't appear to Pilate, nor to Caiaphas, nor to the senior disciples, but instead to this weeping Mary. A woman's testimony was not considered reliable, And Mary is a lowly woman at that. And yet it is she who is the first witness chosen by Jesus. And it is she who is told by the risen Christ to go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Whereupon Mary goes and announces to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Jesus stands before Mary, not wearing finery, but bearing the scars of his torture and death. The risen Christ is not greeted by fanfares or flourishes or VIP visitors. Instead, he is greeted by Mary Magdalene, sobbing in the fading darkness. Now, early this morning, like Christians across the world, we gathered to welcome in both the light of the day, but also the light of the world. In doing so, we have relived the transformation represented by Mary's tears. Amid the gloom and chill air, and it was chilly, the stubborn hope of God is recalled in the Bible readings we listen to and the lighting of the Paschal candle that's brought to the centre and is recognised as the light of Christ. And in sharing the light amongst us, honouring its significance. Gradually, gently, but surely the dawn breaks and we are flooded with the light of day and the returning warmth that the sun provides. There is indeed much suffering in the world, from the Holy Land to Ukraine, Sudan, and beyond. We ache for its cessation, but the temptation is to view these situations as so intractable as to be unfixable. But the Easter dawn should remind us to both lament and hope stubbornly amid the seeming darkness. The unimaginable triumph of Easter dawned while it was still dark, and it was met with weeping. By lamenting and remaining stubbornly hopeful, Mary Magdalene refused to abandon the cause of good and right, even amid confusion and darkness. In celebrating Easter, Mary Magdalene's example can help us to address the uncertainties and darkness we face with that same stubborn hope. As Oscar Romero in a 1977 Chrism Mass said, you have to encourage the good that is done in the world and emphatically denounce the evil that is done in the world. And that is what prophets are for. So with stubborn hope and the light of Christ within us, let us go out into the daylight with a spring in our step and a smile on our lips, because, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Rejoice.
We remain seated for our prayers of intercession.
Jesus Christ is risen today. He is alive for all time, the Lord of life. The Lord of life cannot be held by death. God's victory over sin and death means that new life for us is a reality. So with joy in our hearts, let us pray together. As we remember with gratitude in the presence of the church, in remote and high populated areas all over the world, we pray for all other Christians rejoicing today in the wonder of the resurrection. Life-giving God, give us new life in you. Lord, in your mercy, we pray that we may recognize you as we walk through our days, and we ask you to disturb any complacency that is blurring our spiritual vision. In this world of violence, fed by hatred and revenge, we pray for the courage to speak out against injustice and oppression. We pray that our leaders may establish and uphold right values and sensitive legislation. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those of our families and friends who have not yet met you, that they may be drawn into your company so that they can enjoy your faithfulness and love. Life-giving God, give us all new life in you. We remember those whose lives are filled with pain, anxiety, or sorrow, or loss. And we ask you to come alongside them and speak their name. We remember especially at this time, Gail Wellings, Peter Nelson, the family and friends of John Watts and Ted Rees. And in a short period of silent prayer, we bring to you those people we know who need your healing love. Lord, in your mercy. With the words of resurrection fresh in our minds, we commend to your eternal love those who have died, that they may live with you forever. Lord, in your mercy. And Father, in this joyful Eastertide, may our lips and our lives express our thanks and praise to you for rescuing us and setting us free to live in your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, that you may be able to abide with him in his peace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. The offspring are here.
Yes, it's encouraging the women.
As we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 557, Thou Whose Almighty Word. This morning we used Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit
is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We sit on you for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17. As our Saviour taught us, so we dare to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God of life, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At the top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body, his risen life, we who drink his cup, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is 551, Thine Be the Glory. To our homes with this Easter blessing. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this Easter day and into glory. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen.